Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So somebody in the world of football is dispelling a rumor. There's a story out there. There's some speculation. They want no part of it. We'll get into all that here coming up just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Wednesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. Welcome to December. It is December 1st, and we'll take you all the way up until the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You guys get your shopping done yet? Or, with shipping going on, I got to get on the ball here. Got to get rolling with some of this stuff. Get some of this taken care of or what?
I'm giving my kids coal. They've been bad this year.
Yeah.
I told them, like, look, I sat them down the other night, and I said, I get it. You're 5 years old. You're 3 years old. Our little munchkin, Cassidy, she's only 21 months. And I think she understood because I looked her in the eye for a while and she kind of looked at me and smiled. But I said, you've all been absolutely awful this year. I said, and I called Santa Claus and I said, what should I do? And he goes, give them lumps of coal.
Yeah.
So I already told him, I was like, you don't expect one thing underneath the tree. We're going to teach you a hard lesson at the age of 5, 3, and 21 months. So I suspect there'll be a lot of moaning and crying come Christmas Day when our kids get nothing.
Damn
absolutely
right.
Nothing.
Damn right.
I'm not going to use the supply chain as an excuse,
yeah.
Right?
That's
they've
right.
Been bad.
Then, you
they've
know,
just been outright bad.
Hey, she makes fun of your wife's cough or whatever. I mean, that's what happens. You know,
my 21 month old Cassidy's got a sense of humor. I know your son does it too, but my wife has had like a cold. And every time she's like, she'll like literally mimic her every time and just turn around, smile, and walk away. It's a problem.
So, yeah, that's consequences to all this.
I'm so glad I'm removed from months old. Ah, man.
Oh,
it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's beautiful. But I have to remind myself because you just got to remind yourself when you're in the months old, it's like all the nights. Well, okay, yes, I did. With my last child, I was actually a real parent. Like the first
well,
few,
uplifting.
I wasn't at all. Like, oh, I was present. I was a good dad, but I wasn't like active. You know what I mean? Like, if the baby woke up or needed to be fed or whatever, it was like, man, I was like, oh, they woke me up. You got okay, good. You know, I go back to sleep. You know
what
I mean? This last one, I did not sleep. Like, if she moved, I woke up. Like. It's like anything she did. Like, this one was my baby. Like, I was there. I taught her how to walk. I potty trained her. Like, that was the wildest thing. But first off, potty training a girl. That's a whole nother conversation. But that was, like, one of the most earth-moving moments for me anyways. I say she's not a year yet. You know, like, first few babies, I'd be like, they're like, they're not a year yet. I got to my last baby. I'd be like, oh, she's 14 months. She's 20 months. I had a baby bag. I knew how to unfold and attach. Think about this. A triple stroller.
Ooh,
a triple stroller.
That's not easy. Yeah.
I turned into a dad, man. Like, I was always a dad, but I like turned into like a real dad, you know? Like,
I mean,
the real one.
Look at you.
Yeah, so. But it's funny hearing 20 months, like hearing the month count. It's like
it brings back memories.
They're still
scarred.
Babies, man. Jeez. But it's like you love it, but it's like, man, like my kids are big now. And you don't know how big your kid is until you see them around a 20 month old, you know? It's like, man, she's a giant. My baby girl's a giant now. Like, she's the tallest in her class. Like, she's tall.
Well, listen, she's got to still behave. She wants anything for Christmas, man.
So I'm getting my kids practical. I told my kids, outside of the baby, everything is about practical application from here on out. Like, I want you to understand money. I want you to understand financing. I want you to understand the value of marketing and branding and how you handle things. I want you to understand giving back to your community, community service. So I'm going to your gift. It's like, we're not doing this whole Santa thing and this, that, and the other, getting you all these gifts that you're never going to use. So we're opening up bank accounts for all the kids.
Oh, nice.
And for the ones that are old enough, we're actually getting them credit cards so that they can start building their credit right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? So it's like, here's your infusion. So whatever it is we were going to spend on you for gifts, we're going to actually put that in a little bit more into this account. So you have a savings, you're going to have a checking, and you're going to start learning what it means to respect the dollar. Because at some point in time, I started to realize by the way that they're doing these coins and stuff like that online, they don't respect the dollar. It's just easy. Like, click, like, I want that, click, like, you're using it, you don't respect it. So I was like, you're going to learn what it is to save. You're going to learn what it is to build your credit. You're going to learn what it is to budget. And then now we're going to work on, because of this whole NIL thing, and I have kids that are NIL, you know, eligible. Now we're going to start learning what the business of how you accumulate, how that plays a part into how you spend, how you view it. You know, where this is going. What are your goals? Like my daughter, my oldest, that's going to turn 16. She wants a Porsche truck. That's her thing. She wants a Porsche truck, not just a truck, not a vehicle, not just my license. She wants a Porsche truck. And I said, well, how are you going to get to it? You know, how are you going to get there? What, like? And she's super artistic. She can sing. She's super athletic. So I'm like, you have to start taking your gifts. And you have to start developing your gifts so that your gifts are monetizable. Like, that's the day and age we live in. That's what y'all's gifts are going to be this year. So.
Well, I mean, if she's planning on pursuing her athletic dreams at Notre Dame with Urban Meyer as being the next head coach there, the football team, that ain't happening. Because according to Urban Meyer,
loves Notre Dame.
He
though.
Does, but according to Urban Meyer, he is not a candidate for the job. He is committed to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So here we go again. Every time one of these big name openings happen, it was USC a few weeks back. Then we heard about LSU. Then we've got Notre Dame opening up. Everybody throws Urban Meyer's name into the mix, but he has shot that down. So Brady Quinn, no Urban Meyer in South Bend, although he does have some ties there from his previous run with the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, previously had been there, and wide receivers coached some special teams. Obviously has a love for it, but he's on an NFL team now, and I think he wants to kind of see this thing through. That team has been really supportive of him, considering some of the stuff that has taken place this year. So that's the other thing that I think is kind of glaringly obvious that stands in the way, is that a Catholic institution, that sort of stuff that happened off the field, that would be something that would kind of eliminate you from being a candidate. That's just the optics to it and all that. It wouldn't go well, wouldn't bode well, when you've got a president of a university who's a priest who's going to be a part of making this decision, along with their athletic director, Jack Swerbrick. So the bottom line is, as he said, he's not a candidate, but he's also not interested. So kind of a moot point here.
Well, I think why at some point, couldn't he have had any one of these jobs over the past couple of years? Like, this isn't just because the USC job came open now. It's not like there wasn't an opportunity for Urban Meyer to take the job over the past couple of years. So, like, all of a sudden, now that he's in the NFL with the Jaguars, it appears like he's got a quarterback that they can build around. You know, they've got a couple of wins. They're not a good football team, but you do see signs of improvement from time to time with the Jaguars so far. They've supported him, as you pointed out. If he was going to take one of these jobs, wouldn't he have taken any number of these jobs that opened up over the past couple of years? That's why this doesn't make any sense. I don't know why we continue to want to tie him to any of this. I think he wants to give this an honest shot. I think he's going to be in Jacksonville for at least a couple of years of the contract. I just don't. I don't buy any of this.
He's only been there a year, so yes. It's not like we can tie him to all these other coaching jobs, because there was some legitimacy to it, you know, back when he was in broadcasting. I think, again, based on what's happened and the way that team has supported him, and obviously they've continued to improve to a degree, I think they're really curious to see what year two looks like. Because much like, you know, for example, a quarterback, when you play your first year, your second year, your sophomore year is kind of that big jump. It's kind of like that with coaches too, especially for the first time coaching at the NFL level. You go into everything having a better understanding of what to expect, how it all works and operates. And that should give you an opportunity to make adjustments easier, to understand on your staff what needs to be done. And that's where I am honing in on this offseason, is what he does with some of his staff changes, because their offense has at times looked the part, but that's mostly because of Trevor Lawrence and his ability to make some plays. They need more speed. They need more of a system that kind of fits his strengths. And that's one of the things that you're seeing right now, that's just not the case. It's almost like they're kind of throwing an offense out there, and they're asking Trevor Lawrence to run it instead of calling things that really plays to what he does well, or helping to eliminate some of their weaknesses.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
I'll get Discover cards for my kids for Christmas, so y'all get at me, Discover. Get at me.
Yeah, make it happen.
Yeah.
Coming up next, this is going to be a lot of fun, because this is somebody who has been brutally honest about the state of one program in the world of football, but I am curious to see how he feels now. The great Petros Papadakis, always a wild ride every single week when he joins us here, and he's yours next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Always kind enough to join us here every single week, bright and early. He is the great Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports. He's also a Fox college football analyst, and he is now proud to say an alma mater, the USC Trojans. He's an alum, and they've got Lincoln Riley, the head coach, is in a big time.
Bring back the glory.
Damn right. P, how we feeling, baby?
Was that Petros?
How we feeling?
Is that Petros, or was that Brady messing with it?
That was me.
Oh, that
bring back the glory.
Yes.
That was a pretty good impersonation.
The men of Troy are back.
Well, I was trying to do the athletic director, Mike Bone, impression from
Boner?
The press conference.
Oh.
That, well, I had to go back and watch.
You guys don't even know how great Lincoln Riley is. You don't know.
I take it back. Your impersonation is not as good as Petros' original voice.
Not even close.
No one can do it.
Does my access work okay now?
You sound super clear.
All right, it worked yesterday for Gottlieb, so we'll see. But if it doesn't, I'll call on the phone, and I'll try not to be super salty. Although Brady was pretty salty yesterday on my show with Matt Money Smith.
Wasn't salty.
No, it was great. I thought it was one of your greatest radio appearances of all time, because Brady made the point that no one's going to transfer out of Notre Dame because the academics are so high. Mm. If you're some idiot that goes to Oklahoma and you want to transfer over to USC, another pool of idiots, that's fine. But nobody's leaving South Bend where there's smartest
people. I wasn't saying it was for that.
Think
I was saying
in Indiana.
I was saying that to go to Notre Dame is different.
You're right.
In comparison to Baton Rouge.
I thought it was a great point.
Well, look, if you're going to Norman for school and then you can go to Southern California and follow the guy you committed to, a little different story.
There he goes. I love it. Anyway, it's great to talk to you guys.
How are we feeling about Lincoln Riley, P?
Are you excited?
I felt great about it before the press conference.
what happened at the press conference? Can you walk us through that?
Lincoln Riley, first of all, he's not lying. The first time they talked to him, the first time he had contact with the USC people was after midnight on Saturday night. If they win that game in Bedlam, it's probably Matt Campbell who is the USC football coach. So USC did a great job because they said, hey, we're going to hire somebody and we're going to pay him everything and we're going to give him everything, because they had hit rock bottom and they had finally gotten the green light to do it from wherever or whoever. And they did it, and it just happened. The stars aligned for Lincoln Riley, whether he didn't want to stay in Oklahoma or he didn't want to go over to the SEC or he wanted to try something different and build something different with Alex Grinch on the West Coast. For whatever reason, those stars aligned and USC hit a home run. But USC used the press conference for so many different things. Like, they used the press conference. Bone went up there and basically...
Boner.
Yeah, the old Bonerino. He went up there and basically sprained his shoulder, patting himself on the back in a weird speech. And okay, I get that. He's going to take a victory lap, and he should. And then they brought the president of the university up, I think. Or no, they brought Rick Caruso up, who's a donor. I've never heard a donor speak at a coaching hiring because he's going to run for mayor. Hmm. So they tried to get his – everybody tried to get their equity out of it. And then they brought the president of the university up, and she spoke because basically they said over and over again, please leave her alone on Twitter because everybody – every time anybody – these guys have tweeted for the last 2 or 3 years, it's fire Clay Helton, and 100 pictures of Urban Meyer, and they're sick of that. And so a guy's running for mayor. They use that. They want everybody to leave the president alone. Bone had to go up there and freak out. And then finally they got to the substance of it like a half hour in. It's like when you win a national championship or something and all these weird politicians and the muckety mucks show up to get their credit and, you know, say everybody's name wrong and give you some stupid certificate of the city. You know, and don't forget, I'm running for city council in Pacoima. And, you know, it just becomes really cumbersome. So that part of it was a little much, but it's over now. And Lincoln Riley's in charge of the USC football program. They'll be an offense first program, but Grinch is a guy that knows how to call defense around an offense like that. And they're a run-first offense for the most part. I've seen him do a lot of great things with his play calling just in games that I've called over the years. First time I met him was when he was at ECU. So it's not like, you know, he was born with a silver spoon. He's from a place called Mule Shoe, Texas. And I think it's going to be interesting. It'll be great for West Coast football. I think the Kalen DeBoer hiring at Washington is overshadowed by this, but is also a really good hire and a great direction for Washington to take. I was really impressed with him doing a few Fresno games this year. So things are better on the West Coast since last time we talked.
Petros, I know you'll say what I think you're going to say, and I get it in terms of recruiting.
What's that?
In terms of recruiting, USC recruits itself. I get that.
Sure.
But you and I both know you live in the area. You understand the battlegrounds of Southern California in terms of recruiting. It's very, very competitive. And certain schools in the pack have done well in getting guys that are rooted in, you know, football culture and the football community of Southern California.
Forever.
And I'm just wondering, is that, you know, people coming from Shoehorn and Cowhoof, Texas, are they going to be able to relate to?
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to out recruit teams like Oregon, teams like Arizona State? I don't know what's going to happen with Arizona State, but will they be able to out recruit them?
I think so, because to me, you don't need an LA guy to recruit LA in LA. You need an LA guy. Like Dante Williams is a great LA recruiter when he's at Oregon or Nebraska or places like that, mm-hmm. because he can come to LA and he's an LA guy and he can talk to you about what it's like in Lincoln or a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
LA, I mean, USC has never had a coach from LA. All these guys, I mean, John McKay was from Oregon. John Robinson was from Oregon. You know, Pete Carroll is a Northern California guy. Yeah, they're West Coast people. I understand what you're saying, but I think that there's just an excitement about his ability as a coach that kind of overshadows that stuff. Now, it is interesting because there are great players in L.A. that are leaving L.A., and all we ever talk about is quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and Brady and I discussed it yesterday. I mean, Lincoln Riley needs to concentrate, and even if he has to go get him nationally at first, he's got to recruit offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to build offensive line, defensive line, culture, and defense. That's what USC needs more desperately than some quarterback that left town to play for somebody else. There's plenty of guys like that. But with Bryce Young and DJ and CJ Stroud and all these Southern California guys playing all over the country like they seem to do, I mean, USC's quarterback is from Utah, and he's probably going to be a Heisman candidate next year, Jackson Dart, if Lincoln Riley keeps the way the trajectory that he's had over the years with quarterbacks and the way he can coach offense. And I've heard from multiple coaches that the one thing you can do at USC that you can't really do anywhere else but the South or even Oklahoma is neutralize people with fronts if you pay attention to it. And I just think about it over the years, you know, like the Khalil brothers, Sam Baker, all those freaks from back in the day, Anthony Munoz, Clay and Bruce Matthews. I know Clay was a linebacker, but they can cultivate offensive line on the West Coast. You just have to care about it, and USC's the place to do it. And if he puts that first, I don't think, you know, a recruit leaking out to Oregon. I mean, we used to talk about this when I was a player, LeVar. There was a kid named Keenan Howry who played at Los Al who ended up at Oregon as a receiver. And everybody's like, how could he leave? How could he get out of Southern California? It's like, if you look at everybody's roster, it's like half of everybody's team is from Southern California in the Pac-10 or Pac-12.
Pac-12. Yeah, you're right.
Petros, it's interesting, like, listening to you talk about this just because we spoke last night. And one of the things I didn't get to ask you was, you know, we're talking about building up on both sides of the offensive defensive line. And the reason why I think that's so important is obviously you and I both know that's how you win a national championship. That's right. What USC is hiring Lincoln Riley to do.
You can't get off the field when you get in with Alabama or Georgia.
Which was similar to 2014 when I was there with you in the green room here at Fox.
What happened?
When Ohio State just bludgeoned Oregon. You kicked a couch at one point and went into this tirade. But I digress. The question is this. Lincoln Riley chose not to go.
It was only for your entertainment.
Yeah, for sure. Lincoln Riley chose not to go to LSU. He chose not to stay at Oklahoma. Reason being is he probably feels like he has the best chance to win a national championship at USC. Do you kind of see them hiring him more as maybe an indictment of at Oklahoma they hit a ceiling, and at LSU he's like, yeah, I don't know if that's my best shot to do it. I'd rather be at Southern Cal. I think that's the better path to get to a national championship.
Yeah, it's definitely a different place to compete from. And kind of a classic place to compete from. It's one of the few places for East Coast people that kind of really moves the needle. I mean, people in Ohio don't say, hey, I'm going to turn on the Oregon game. You know, I mean, our parents, you know, people like that.
Right.
They turned on the USC game with the cheerleaders bouncing around and this and that. So it's just part of college football culture.
So they only turn it on for the USC cheerleaders. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
Bouncing around.
The palm trees, pictures of the Santa Monica Pier, which is at least an hour's drive with traffic from the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum. Yeah. It's like, show Echo Park, you know, show something real. But anyway, all of those things, I think, just make it really important for all of us in the West that USC is important, you know, that USC is playing well. Because if USC is playing meaningful football, then their game against Washington matters. Their game against Arizona matters. And you start to learn about more players nationally. And those highlights get played. And, hey, look, who's this kid, Toby Gerhart? You know, stuff like that. So that's where they're headed. That's the direction college football needs to be headed. And I think it is a better place to compete from if you're trying to. I think that's a really good point, because if you're in the SEC West and you go 5-2, you're a bad coach. I mean, you suck. And we're trying to get – we're flying Bobby Petrino in a private jet. You know, unbeknownst to anybody, some donors flying him.
Is he still wearing the neck brace? Is he still wearing that neck? That's all I remember.
Greatest college football photo of all time.
Petros, could USC have done better than the hire of Lincoln Riley? As far as you're concerned, is this the best they could have done, or was there somebody else out there you would have preferred?
To me, I think USC is really, truly great when you build with defense. And all of their great coaches over the years have been defensive coaches, whether it's Howard Jones or John McKay or Pete Carroll. Because they are not afraid to put their best players on defense. Like Marquise Lee was done a great disservice. I mean, that guy should have been a defender. You know, Pete Carroll would have put that guy on defense and figured it. And he'd still be, you know, he'd have a $100 million contract in the NFL or something. Because that is what defensive coaches do, and that's where they coach the team from. this is not a defensive coach, but if you're going to hire a play caller and a head coach, and they haven't had very good luck with that, with the Sark and Kiffin thing, this guy is leaps and bounds more mature of a person and play caller than either of those guys ever have been as a head coach. So as far as that goes, if you're going to go offense, no, you couldn't have done better. And bringing Grinch, who I really liked when he was at Washington State with Leach, coaching guys like Hercules Mata'afa. Remember that
guy?
Yeah. From Lahaina.
A Futu Falamala.
Hercules was like a cliff diver and a D-lineman, undersized D-line.
And how much did he weigh, like 260? And he was playing like three
not
technique?
Even, like 240.
Zero nose?
Yeah.
It sounds like Aaron Donald.
Doing people dirty. And I think he might still be with the Vikings. But anyway, bringing Grinch and doing all the stuff that he's going to be able to do, I hope, with the fronts and the offensive line and paying attention to that, I think he'll have a lot of success. I think it's a great hire.
Optimistic Petros. How about
it's
that?
It's not cool.
Unbelievable. Man.
I'm shook.
Let me ask you this, Petros.
Well,
look, I was nauseated by the presser, believe me.
Petros, if it doesn't work, why is it not going to work?
Boner.
The Bonerino.
Oh, wow.
Can you do an impression of why, like, from Mike
Boner? You don't even know how great Lincoln Riley. You don't even know. You guys are seriously.
What did you say last night?
It's hard to imagine.
Can you do a Norm Chow at least?
Like, what? Do you think he's going to call me to consult? You know why he won't? Pete Carroll. I can't see it not working, at least to a certain degree. You know, he might still be 0-20 in the college football playoff by the end of this, but you know, at least there'll be relevant football on the West Coast when it comes to the Coliseum and all that stuff.
I was just gonna ask you what's the over under for years to the college football playoff?
Well, look, if he makes it to the college football playoff, like, how long is he gonna be there before he's the Cowboys coach?
And that's what I was going to ask.
You know, then you have a whole other issue. Because if you have success at USC, John McKay, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, John Carroll. Robinson, L.A. Rams, Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks. If you have success at USC, I mean, even freaking Kiffin got the Raider job. If you have success at USC, you go to the NFL. So I don't think he's going to be at USC for 20 years, guys. I think he's going to go to the Cowboys.
Mm. Interesting. Get him on Twitter at the old P, optimistic Petros Papadakis, AM570 LA Sports, Fox college football analyst.
I don't care if USC wins or loses.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You guys have me like, I'm not like Brady with like a clover in my butt.
Oh.
Jesus.
I have a Nittany line on my arm.
I haven't been the one advocating for them making the playoff. And now I'm curious for them to make it only because I think it'd be an interesting storyline. Kind of throw a little spit in the face of
you
of
should
BK
care that they win, Pops.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, you should care.
Well, I have to call their games. I'm impartial.
Yeah, during the game. Yeah,
guess who doesn't, by the way? I don't have to, Petro, so I can be a little bit of a homer now.
I didn't say anything. I just said, look, you're proud of where you came from, and I wish I was like you.
Yeah. Well, there's the truth. I appreciate
you've
the truth.
You got that Trojan sword up your butt. That's what you got.
Oh, wow. No, you know what? It was removed by Colin Cowherd, and he took it and put it up his own.
Oh, wow.
I wish we had that drop. That was the creepiest sound.
I sure do hope that they took care of that sword before switching. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
Get him on Twitter at the LP. Petros, let's do it again next week. Always a good time.
Oh, Petros.
Trojans are not Greeks. Troy was in Asia Minor.
Oh.
They lost the Trojan War to Greeks.
Right. Oh,
there it is. You never know what you're going to learn.
Swords,
Trojans. At all.
I know what he's saying with that, too,
by the way. That's not radio safe. I know exactly what he's saying.
Yeah. He's the best.
Oh,
all right.
I don't know if you heard what I said, Brady, but it was kind of connected to what you were connected to. I went a little closer than what you did.
Two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports. radio.
And then he said two pros and a cup of Joe.
Coming up next, we got some stolen merchandise in the NFL.
I'm glad you got it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you here on FSR. We're going to be back on the air same time, same place tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific. Take a closer look at another weekend in the NFL starting between the Cowboys
and the Saints.
Why are you talking
like this?
Here on FSR. How about that? Felt appropriate. With the music. I mean, you know.
Are we back?
Yeah, I think so.
That's weird.
I think we're ready to go. We are going to have another edition, by the way, of coming up here momentarily of the scraps. But are you guys excited? We're going to be back here tomorrow. Who else is going to be ditching their team to take another high-profile job in the world of college football?
I guess I am.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
The way we came back into this segment was so, like,
was
real
that was
light.
Weird.
Yeah, man, just, bro. That's why I wanted to set the mood correctly.
You definitely were set. That's what threw me off more than anything is that you sounded like you were joking around, but I saw that both of our lights were red and we were on air. But I thought we do this whole live read thing or reads recorded, and I thought you were recording a read. I'm so glad that I wasn't inappropriate like I always am when we're doing reads on break.
Figured I would be trying to be soothing here.
I was trying to figure it out. Like, what's this dude doing? Like,
don't ever do that again.
What a weirdo.
Just trying to be soothing here on the air.
You're not that guy, right?
Yeah.
It didn't work.
You,
I'll tell you that.
Thanks,
like,
man.
If that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, man.
There is somebody out there listening.
Trust me, you're not that guy.
Somebody out there listening thinks so, though. That's all that really matters. You do have fans out there that are listening that are saying, you know what? Jonas is that guy, and I like that smooth, sensual voice that he just hit us with.
Nobody has any idea who I am. If not
that's
for
not
you
true.
Guys, this show is nothing. Nobody has any idea.
That's
who
not
I am.
True.
Definitely not true.
That's true.
Definitely not true.
If
not
you think
true.
I'm wrong, get at me on Twitter at @Brady_Quinn.
They're not going to get at you on Twitter.
Okay. All right.
But they know who you are.
Can we get after a little something we do on the show called this?
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to Lee Delap, our executive producer, to find out what the hell we've missed. Lee?
You guys, we have a thief in our midst. Somewhere at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, at the Falcons Mercedes-Benz Stadium, somebody's stealing stuff from the opposing team's locker room. Mac Jones wristband, for one. That was one of the bigger items that have
that's
made
a big
its way
item,
on social.
A wristband?
Yeah, wristband. Well, you could also get...
Oh, his plays?
You could also get Jarrett Stidham's socks.
It wasn't a play card wristband. It was just a wristband.
No, it was the play card wristband.
Wristband. That is a big deal.
I mean...
That's a big deal. That's cheating.
How does this... First of all, I wonder if it's the same people that stole the footballs here in studio, but never mind. Like, how is this even... Like, they don't do a background check to, like, see, you know, maybe if we've got a thief working in the stadium, that might not be a good idea.
By the way, this is the same stadium where Tom Brady's jersey got stolen after the Super Bowl, and he's going to be playing there next week.
Okay, is it the same stadium? Because I thought that was Houston.
Well, there was two Super Bowls where he got jerseys stolen.
Jesus, man. What
Super
is
Bowl
with
49
people?
And 51.
Why do people steal? I don't understand.
But could you imagine somebody's great-great-great-great-grandkid popping up with one of them jerseys?
With Mac Jones's wristband.
Because you can't get in trouble for it at that point, right? So what do you think it would go for? Like 30, 40, 50 years from now?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I bet
how
you
much Bitcoin?
A lot.
I'm just saying, went there, huh?
Yeah, how much Bitcoin would it go
for? I'm just telling you, it'd be a lot.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot. Boy.
I mean, Mac Jones is
somebody's
wristband.
Got that locked up somewhere. It's somewhere.
Yeah. They're listening to the show right now, waving in our face.
No, they're probably hiring a hitman to come get us. Like, no, please, please. People have forgotten about it. Don't bring it up.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just saying.
What else we got, Lee?
A jersey.
You guys, Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool had a suggestion of playing some music at practice. That might help the team prepare better. Here's Mike Tomlin and what he had to say about that suggestion.
Mike Claypool suggested yesterday that he would like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting you're not going to oblige his request.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
Yes!
He's the best. He is the best. God, I love Mike Tomlin. He is the best.
He is a mic dropper, isn't he?
I wish I could have played for Mike Tomlin. I'd be dying to listen to that dude at team meetings.
When Mike Tomlin decides to step away from coaching, what's the bidding war for his services in the media going to look like?
Easily $10 million.
Oh, my God.
He can demand whatever he wants.
So good.
By the way, LeVar, you know how you were kind of touching on that defense, no one being scared and all that?
Yeah.
You know, Ryan Clark, a former Pittsburgh Steeler, he said something similar. Mike Tomlin's response to that was, well, yeah, a lot of those former guys would probably know better than the guys in my own locker room. Like, he doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
He does not hold back. He basically is admitting that this team has gotten soft.
Yeah.
He's basically saying that.
Yeah, well, you know. Mike Tomlin is a dope dude. Ryan Clark's one of my former teammates. He's a dope dude. And you just got to call it how you see it. But, man, Tomlin is a mic dropper on him.
I love him. He's great.
I love that dude.
What else we got, Lee?
One of Lincoln Riley's best quotes from yesterday was that he's going to make USC the mecca of college football. Well, Oklahoma defensive lineman Isaiah Thomas took umbrage with that, saying that he told us that last week.
So basically what he's saying is you pimp gaming, huh?
he's just recycling, rehearsing the material.
Oh, man, you getting them ready.
Starting to feel like a used car salesman.
You ready to put them out on the block, huh, Lincoln?
Here's the thing. To Petros's point.
My money.
Everyone at USC is going to root for that success, and he's going to leave y'all high and dry at some point.
Yeah.
Y'all better get my money. Daddy need his money.
It's going to be fun, though.
He said that to us last week. Sorry, you sloppy seconds, USC.
You too. Oh.
Wow. Mic drop.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.